For Monday, the 15th of November, 2021, this is Twitter Talks Games, episode 219. Okay, well, back here talking Magic the Gathering Arena. We've had a few days now with Innistrad, Crimson Vow, and as has become my tradition now, or my tactic, or whatever you want to call it, on release of new sets, I start out in Limited. So I've been saving up my gold and my gems to get into some Limited play. And I've had a couple of runs. First one, I won three games, so not quite even Steven there on getting my money back. I think what I've heard is that you should do four matches to break even for wins. not sure if that's completely correct. I think it's like three and a half, but I mean, when you do four, you've suppressed your buy-in. But still, I was happy with that, since it's better than just buying boosters in any case. And I had a lot of fun playing that deck. It was a what's that called? Asoria, I think. Or is it Ab? No, not Absan, is white, black, and blue, I think. This was a white and blue, I think it's Asoria, something like that. Anyway, it's one of those combos, color combinations I very rarely play. But I had a lot of fun with this one. It was heavily, it was almost mono white, just had a few splashes of blue in there. Had a couple of multicolored cards. So I think the first card I got, it might have been the first card, or at least one of the ones I got, a rare card, was Dorothea, Vengeful Victim, which cost a white and a blue. It's a legendary creature spirit for rare, and it's 4/4. It has flying and reads, when Dorothea, Vengeful Victim, attacks or blocks, sacrifice it at the end of combat. And then you can pay its disturb cost to bring it back, which is just one and a white and a blue. And then you attach it as a sorcery, which has the same, or it has a similar effect, which is it creates a 4/4 flying spirit when you attack, which is also attacking, and then you sacrifice it at that token creature at the end of that turn. So really pretty powerful effect there, especially in Limited. I had that, and then I had a Brine Comber, which is a uncommon for one and a white and blue. It's a creature spirit. It's a 1/1. It reads, when Brine Comber enters the battlefield or becomes the target of an aura spell, create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. And for its disturbed cost, you can attach it as an enchantment with the same effect. Which was also really useful. This was really a little aggro creature deck for the most part, with a lot of additional bonuses to all the cards. They pretty much all have activated abilities or activated or triggered abilities, or they have disturb. So I was really getting a lot of uses and a lot of extra bang for the buck Many of my matches, I was sitting with four or five cards on hand that I didn't even have to play or have time to play because the cards in play were just enough to take over the game. So, but I had a couple of bad draws early on, and then I had I think I had one game where the opponent was just well, they had a really good deck and they had a good draw as well. So, not too sad about that. I mean, it was a lot of fun to play, so that was fine. But then, the second deck that I put together, I started on Saturday, and I played, I guess, continued playing yesterday. Don't remember if I finished. Yeah, I think I finished it off yesterday. But yeah, I was playing for a long time because I went 7-2. So I don't know if I've done that. I think I've done that at some point, but really ha rare, very rarely happens. So I was really happy about that. So that was a Orso deck. So again, heavy on the white, with a few black cards in here. Some really fun cards in the mix. Traveling Minister was a card that I had in both decks, which worked really well in this limited format. So it's a 1/1 human cleric for a white, and you can tap it to give target creature +1/+0 until end of turn. You gain one life also, and you activate it as a sorcery. So just a little extra life gain, and you get to do some more damage if you because very often you'll have the opponent have blockers that of course will do at least one damage, and this creature only takes one. It only has one toughness, so you don't really want to attack with it if you're not desperate. So you can just kind of hand over its power to another creature, and you're also getting a +1 life for doing so. So really a nice little feature. Had another one drop, just the two one drops in this deck. The other one is a rare, and I really like this card. I'm gonna be playing more with this definitely. I've already put it into a deck or two actually. Concealing Curtains, which is for one black. It's a 0/4 wall, so it has defender. But then for two and a black, you can transform Concealing Curtains, and you can only activate that as a sorcery. But when you transform it, opponent shows you their hand, and you get to pick a card that they have to discard. I believe you pick it. As usual, I can't see the backside of the card here, this tool, but I think that's what it does. Anyway, your opponent does have to discard a card, and also this turns into a 3/5, so or 3/4 actually. Yeah, so a really nice ability. And so early on, it's a blocker, and then as soon as you have the mana, you can flip it over. And if you play late, you can pay just the 4 mana after each other, so to get that effect. And since it's a creature, you can get around negates and test of talents and crap like that, which is nice as well. Let's see if I have anything else I'd like to mention in here. I had a bunch of cards with training and disturb of different sorts. Fleeting Spirit is a pretty good uncommon that I had in this deck. It's similar to the oh, what's that called? It's another 3/1. I'm forgetting what the name of it is, but it's a card where you discard a card to give it indestructible and to end the turn. But This one has a similar ability. You can discard a card and then you exile Fleeting Spirit and return it at to the battlefield under its owner's control at the end of or the beginning of the next end step. So you can phase it out in a way to avoid any well any attempts to kill it. But also if you want to sweep the board, you can do that and save this creature. So that's a nice ability. It also has ability that for one, you can exile three cards from your graveyard, and Fleeting Spirit gains first strike until end of turn. So not as good of an ability and also very expensive, but in a pinch, you could do that. I think I only did it once because I usually didn't have that many cards in my graveyard since I have so many with Disturb and things like that. That they were kind of disappearing from my graveyard. Another one that I really like, and I've messed around a little bit with afterwards in constructed decks, is Panicked Bystander, which is a 2/2 for one and a white human peasant, and it reads: whenever Panicked Bystander or another creature you control dies, you gain one life. And at the beginning of your end step, if you've gained three or more life this turn, you transform Panicked Bystander. It transforms into a 3/5. Don't remember what that the name of that card is, but it also has the effect or the ability. The feature that you get a life whenever a creature dies of yours, but it's a 3/5, and it you can pay. A black one and a black, I believe, or is it two and a black, maybe, to give it death touch until end of turn. So it's a pretty nice uncommon card. It's like a reverse of the Orator or other cards that give you what life when a creature enters the battlefield, like Daxos. And here you get what life when it leaves instead. So see anything else here I'd like to point out? There's a bunch of different commons and uncommons that work really well in limited, but don't know if I want to get too deep into them. One card that works really well with the Panicked Bystander or the Traveling Minister, since they both give you a life. Is the let's see, where did that go? The Courier Bat, which for two and a black, it's a 2/2 bat creature at common, has flying, and it reads: when Courier Bat enters the battlefield, if you gain life this turn, return up to one target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. So also really, really powerful effect in limited, where you're playing a lot of creatures usually, and since you're not constructing the deck, getting them back is not as always as easy, and it's also a more powerful effect usually in limited compared to constructed. So I use that quite a lot, or I tried to always play the bat after I'd gained life so I could get something back. Also had one of my rares in this deck is a Path of Peril, which is a sorcery rare. It costs one and two black, so one black black, and has cleave cost for four, a white and a black, and it reads: destroy all creatures with mana value two or less. So if you cleave it, it'll just be destroy all creatures. Otherwise, it's only creatures with mana value two or less. So, good way to get rid of the little creatures if that's what you want to do, or you can sweep the board later on if you have the two colors and the mana. Cemetery Protector, another really good card that I've also I've gotten a second copy in a pack, so I played around with a couple of them in a deck after that. But Summoning Predictor is a mythic for two and white. It has flash, and when Cemetery Protector enters the battlefield, exile a card from your graveyard. When you play a land or cast a spell, if it shares a card type with the exiled card, create a 1/1 white human creature token. So in a deck like this, where most of the cards are creatures, you're going to want to exile a creature. So whenever you play a creature, you're also going to get a white 1/1 white human creature. So nice effect there. If you had to happen to have a land in your graveyard, if you played like an Evolving Wild or something, then that's a good card to exile as well, because then whenever you play a land, you're going to get a 1/1. So really good card. So happy I picked that up for this deck. So like I said, a bunch of other little commons and uncommons in here. I don't know if I want to get into them, but turned out to be a really good deck. As I said, I went 7-2, which I guess is around, what is that, 80% win rate, something like that. And or 77.8, I think this says. It's been really fun playing limited, as I was saying, and I'm gonna get back into doing that even more going on here. Now that I look at this, actually, I've actually played three limited sessions or events. I had a Bant deck before that, before the Azorius deck that I mentioned, which I've already forgotten. But now looking back at it, it's coming back to me. Went 4-3 on that one, so got my money's worth. That was also a fun deck to play. I had a lot of flyers and a lot of cards that also synergized well with each other. Don't know if I want to get into them here, but that was another fun deck to play around with. See if I had something I wanted to mention. One card I can mention, which I'm looking forward to messing around with. I put together a deck with it, but never got this card into play, and the deck wasn't functioning all that well, so I scrapped it. But I'll get back to it probably. But it's Sigurd's Summons, which is an enchantment, rare enchantment for 4 and white, and it reads: creatures you control get with +1/+1 counters on them, have base power and toughness 4/4. They have flying and are angels in addition to their other types. So turns all your creatures with +1/+1 counters on them into angels, and 4/4 angels at that. So plus whatever counters they have, of course. So you're gonna have at least 5/5s. So I started putting together a deck with a lot of little critters and lots of ways to give them +1/+1 counters. But it was doing okay. It was doing okay, but not great. I was probably losing more than I was winning, so I kind of scrapped the deck. But we'll see. I'll go back and play around with it some more. So besides that, I have stuck a couple of my new Crimson Vow cards into existing decks. Particularly into my mono white deck, which I put together as I was talking about last time, to try to do some grinding back at least into diamond. It's currently at 53% win loss rate, 9-8. matches, so just barely above board, as I would put it. But I got a few new ones that I stuck in here. I got one copy of Hopeful Initiate, which is a 1/2 at rare for one white. It's a creature human warlock, and it has training, so when it attacks with a larger creature, it'll get a +1/+1 counter. And it also has pay 2 and a white and remove 2 +1/+1 counters from among creatures you control. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. So, a little bonus feature there as well. Let's see. I also got a Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, which is a 2/1, 2/1 at rare. It's it costs 1 and a white. It's a legendary creature, human soldier. Has first strike, and it read also has the text, non-creature spells cost 1 more to cast. So putting out some extra attacks there on well, mostly your opponent. It also affects you, but this deck doesn't have all that many non-creature spells, so a nice little addition to the Elite Spellbinders to make things even more expensive for the opponent. Also have a wedding announcement, which I put in here. It's an enchantment for 2 and a white at rare, and it reads: at the beginning of your end step, put an invitation counter on wedding announcement. If you attacked with 2 or more creatures this turn, draw a card. Otherwise, create a 1/1 white human creature token. Then, if wedding announcement has 3 or more invitation counters on it, transform it. And when it transforms, it gives all your creatures +1/+1. A little bonus there, a little anthem card. We'll see if it sticks around. So far, it's been doing well for me in this deck. So I also put my 2 cemetery protectors in here. We'll see if they stick around, but we'll see how that goes. I took out one Usher of the Fallen, one Elite Spellbinder, one Skyclave Apparition to try these 3 cards. Or actually to try the Cemetery Protector and the Thalia. I think I put in the Hopeful Initiate before that for another Usher and the wedding announcement. I replaced the Snow Plains for actually because I was finding I had too many lands. This deck runs pretty low to the ground, so you don't really need all that many lands. Anyway, that's my initial experience with Crimson Vow, playing limited mostly. And having a lot of fun, so gonna get back into it.